Welcome to episode 8 of season 19 of the Growing Empire Show. Today I'm interviewing Christina Kovacs. Christina has been a realtor in the Florida area since 2010. She's a broker owner of Home Agency since 2014. Her experience in the real estate industry started when she was 20 years old as a loan officer in the subprime mortgage industry. Apart from the servicing side of real estate, she's been an active real estate investor since 2010. She's flipped or held more than $8 million in residential real estate holdings throughout Florida, Vermont, and Connecticut. Since 2020, she's been focused on growing multifamily portfolio, and she's an LP in 731 units, a JV partner in 105 units. She's also the co-owner of an RV park with 73 sites and 4 cabins. She's got a bachelor's degree in philosophy with a minor in business admin from FIU. She's married and has a baby on the way. And she likes to live every day by the motto, find it, live it. So today, we'll be talking to Christina, and I hope you enjoy the show. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Growing Empires, hosted by real estate entrepreneur and trusted investment advisor, Jennifer DeJesus. Growing Empires provides insight to building wealth through passive income-producing real estate investments for those who want to build and manage a more profitable real estate portfolio.
Welcome to the Growing Empires podcast, where it's our mission to help investors create wealth through real estate and secure financial freedom. Today, we have an amazing show planned, and I'm super excited for you to meet my co-host, Robert, and our guest, Christina Kovacs. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Great to be here again.
Awesome. And Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
So I'm going to start with Robert. Robert, can you give us a little bit of a background on, you know, your journey in real estate and what you've been doing and what you focus on every day? And then Christina, I'm going to ask you to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely, Jennifer. It's great to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me as your co-host this season. I've had a lot of fun on all these episodes. Great to be here with our special guest, part of our real estate community and family. I've been telling the audience my simple story, which is, you know, 20 years in corporate America in the hotel and hospitality section, always investing. I did take the plunge out of corporate America about 12 years ago, and I am now a full-time real estate investor, focusing on using real estate as the bridge to living my best life, which includes family, food, faith, travel, and investments. And I love sharing these stories and following everyone's journey as a partner, coach, mentor, and avid lover of food and cooking. So glad to be here with you guys today, and I'm excited for this episode.
Awesome. Christina, why don't you start by giving a little background about yourself as well?
Okay. So my first journey into real estate was actually, when I was 20 years old, I got into subprime mortgages just with the idea that I saw an ad in a newspaper that said I could make $100,000, and decided to take a pause on college and try my hand at that. And so I did make that $100,000 at 20. And it was really great and exciting, but quickly realized kind of what we were doing was wild. Charge 7 points and no income, no asset. Like, it was just an insane situation that was happening there. And I actually met my husband there. So we both decided that we wanted to leave that industry and go off on our own. And so from there, we became self-employed. So we've been self-employed since I was 21. And it started with some marketing gigs initially, and then it transformed into real estate in 2009. And then since 2009, with our first live and flip, where we could do the full DIY gut job, we got the bug and we could not stop. So that's when we started doing some flips and partnered on some flips and some deals, and then started getting into short-term rentals, did that in a couple different states, and then morphed into just holding some of our long-term rentals after we built up enough cash with the flips, and then scaled into multifamily. And that's how I met you guys.
Awesome. So you got to give me a little bit of background on, you know, that whole subprime mortgage, experience that had to have shaped the way that you look at your real estate investing today. It had to have. So how did it, and how do you use the things that you learned from that time period to shape what you're investing in, or how you even look at deals?
Sure. I mean, it gave me a leg up for sure in real estate. In terminology alone, there's so much education that happened. And then with sales, learned a lot with that. Because also, I forgot to mention, I'm a real estate broker. That's just something that I started after our first live-in flip also. So all of it had a huge transformation. Plus, just being plunged into the situation, kind of not being naive was helpful, because I was a sponge and I took everything that came at me and just was like, all right, let's go. Like, I believed everything I heard and everything was great. And I was just ready to go, you know? So I'm sitting in these people's living rooms, presenting them with a loan package, and I'm just regurgitating everything that I'm trained, you know, like I was the best salesperson just because I didn't know any better to say anything different. I didn't have any knowledge about that maybe these points may be unreasonable or that these people actually couldn't afford it because we weren't proving any income or assets, you know, like, so for me, I truly believed what I was selling, which helped sell. And then as far as coming into real estate with that little gap I had in marketing and promotions, that was wonderful, like to keep being around people and selling, but it's all together. Like, it just makes you a stronger salesperson, but then a stronger analytical person as well, which morphs into the current real estate.
Christina, I know you're in Florida now, but were you always living and based in Florida? Like, for example, when you were 21 years old, were you in Florida at that time?
I was in Boston. So fun little fact, I ended up finishing college eventually, but I went to 5 different schools in 5 different states, but I finished. Wow. And then my major was philosophy with a business minor. But I knew that it wasn't going to be my backbone. I always knew I wanted to be self-employed. Like, after that, being in the mortgage industry and dealing with that type of corporate America was super intense early on. And it really gave me a taste of what I did not want. So we did anything and everything not to have to go back. And we made it happen, which is a struggle in itself. I see a lot of people trying to leave their W-2s and say, if you've been in there for a long time, it's hard for them to have that transition. And for me, because I had that transition when I was so young, it was easier for me to take the hit and go.
Well, that definitely relates to me and hits home, because I did leave corporate America, you know, almost 19 years into my career. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people around me thought I was absolutely crazy. Understanding that I was investing in real estate that entire 19-year career, why would you give this up? You've climbed so far up the ladder. You have so many fringe benefits. You have great bonus plan. You're traveling to all these destinations. Why would you do that? And I said, mm-hmm. It's always been in me to be an entrepreneur and leave. And I took the plunge. We were just talking about this on a previous podcast episode about taking the plunge, or being forced into it. Everybody's journey is very different. So yeah, you were very, very brave at a young age. That is for sure.
Yeah. Investing in yourself and believing in yourself, that confidence can propel you and there's no stopping you, you know, so.
100%. That's the best ROI, investing in yourself for sure.
What was your mentality or thought process behind getting your broker's license? Was that more just about education in the real estate business, or were you looking to actually own and operate a brokerage and kind of have a business as well?
So it started because I was doing some flips on my own. And so with my broker that I was hanging my license under, unfortunately, like, he wanted me to charge that full 3% to myself. And I was happy to give him his cut, but I didn't want to charge myself the 3% and pay income tax on that. So that was actually the trigger for me. I'm like, I just need to get my 2 years in and then get my broker's license. So my personal investments, I can just not charge myself and pay income tax and self-employment tax, right, on my own deals. So
has that broker's license really enabled you to locate more deals, or has it had any benefit into what you're currently doing?
Not to what I'm currently doing, no. It's residential only. So, and my multifamily is out of state. So I leverage other people and their networking connections in other states.
That's a good segue into a question I wanted you to talk about a little bit. I know, you know, you're in several different asset classes and in a couple of different states. Can you elaborate on that so the audience is aware of kind of how successful you can be even out of state, you know, with the right partnerships, the right team, et cetera?
Sure. So when I first started, when I first got in multifamily, I joined a mastermind, Jake and Gino, initially to get the education and network. And I initially thought I was going to invest in commercial real estate, specifically multifamily, here in my backyard. But after networking and meeting so many different people and visiting other markets, I quickly realized that there was more opportunities that were going to be better than in my backyard. So that's how it all started with me venturing out of state. And then, I mean, the networking opportunities that I've had through Jake Gino, MIH, and other masterminds that I've been part of, it's invaluable. That has been the number one thing, is the people that I've met, then the deals, for sure, in that order. But so I've invested in Western PA, Missouri, and two different markets in Missouri, also in Arkansas, mostly multifamily with the exception of one RV park. And it's, everything's been out of state. And I don't plan to invest in multifamily in Florida at all. I've realized that there's too many things that I can't control, like natural disasters are more prevalent here than in other areas that I'm investing in, insurance. And those other areas, we can control those a little bit more.
So how do you pick your partners, people that you're investing with?
Starts off with just likability. Like, that's the number one thing. Like, I don't want to just sit and talk about business. I want to get to know you and your family. And I want to be able to go out and have a good time with you too. And like, grow this relationship in an organic, authentic way, and not just like a robot, you know? So when I get on some networking calls sometimes and people are just like asking me questions and writing them down, and they look back up, and then it's just like, it's so robotic, the whole networking call. I'm like, this one is never going to go anywhere. You know, so if we can just have a conversation and talk and get to know one another, that's what happens naturally. And then we learn and grow together and eventually partner. So nothing is forced, nothing, just it's something that happens naturally for me. And so every partner that I'm with, and I say that with an exception, like when I first started, I did get into a deal with too many people and did not really vet everyone. So that's, it's happened where I had an assumption of this person, and I felt like I knew them, but sometimes you don't realize till afterwards. So it doesn't always work out, but the majority of times it does.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said, and it's okay. And I think people like us who have been doing it a long time, it's okay to make mistakes in real estate. Mm-hmm. You actually should expect mistakes, obstacles, and in some cases, catastrophic situations happening. No matter what you do, it probably will be a part of your real estate journey, as mm-hmm. well as maybe finding the wrong partners. Championship sports teams, you know, trade players during the year, switch players, switch positions, you switch coaches. It's just part of the natural pathway through real estate or any business. And so, mm-hmm. you know, but if you do surround yourself with the right people, the right foundation, and to your point, Jennifer and I talk about this all the time, building those relationships first, forget the business, build a relationship first, and then the assets and the deals will come. And if you have that foundation, it alleviates, and in some cases eliminates, some of those issues that you may incur with partners or assets or whatever down the line. So yeah, I love that philosophy that you have. It's a great message for people listening and you know, having that fear about, I want to do everything myself. I'm afraid to partner with someone. You know, you have to take the risk and expect, you know, not so good things to happen sometimes. And it's okay. Right. It's part of the journey, right? So.
And that gives you an opportunity to thrive in a way too. You sure. take that hiccup, that little bump in the road, and you turn it around. So it's the people that actually take action and aren't scared of the issue, the problem, and they just overcome it and they execute with a plan. So many people I've seen just like stop dead in the tracks, like, what do we do? And just complaining about the problem rather than finding solutions all the time. So if you can be the solution person, you're going to strive.
I love it. I mean, that's what I think we just had a really nice call prior to this too. And I think this is something that's been on my mind for quite some time, and I've been trying to talk about it more and more. Let's talk about the mistakes. Let's talk about the obstacles. Let's talk about the issues so that we can help mm-hmm. each other overcome them. They're always going to be there. So those are, you know, I know a lot of people want to always focus just on the wins and the successes, but you have to talk about the other items as well, because they are part of the process and they could help other people maybe avoid them or alleviate them in the past. So yeah, sure. All great golden nuggets that you're saying right now.
Yeah.
So.
I think some of the major wins come from the losses, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think, you know, the way I built my businesses and the way that I've been successful in real estate is you have one bump in the road, you know how to pivot, to Christina's point, right? You pivot, you come up with a solution. And it's that experience or that you know, that issue that then empowers you to have foresight for future, right? And that mm-hmm. foresight is very powerful as you're trying to protect your assets and how they're growing and things like that. But I think you need some of those, hurdles, right? And I think that especially if you can have them early on and you are able to pivot and get out of them, I think it can be very, very powerful for scale and also for growth.
Right. And it can forge a stronger bond between the people that are really showing up in that situation. So, and then you know you found your person. It's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true.
Through thick and thin, right? You don't want people abandoning the ship just because things are going bad or Monday morning quarterbacking. You know, I told you so, or we should have done that. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Absolutely.
So you had mentioned, Christina, that, you know, the mentorships and the people have been an instrumental part of your growth in this mm-hmm. business. How did you even come to get started in a mastermind? How did you even know one existed? And how did you pick the ones that you got involved in?
Yeah, so I did my first conference. I was thinking about how I wanted to scale, right? Like all the flips, the short-term rentals in three different states. It was done. Like there was too much happening. Very active businesses. And I wanted to be still in real estate focused, but wanted to scale. And so multifamily is just something that scaling into larger buildings was the thing I was only looking for. And I thought maybe we would just start on our own, cause that's just what we do for the most part. So maybe 8-unit or 10-unit in Florida, and build from there. And that was going to be our way. But then I came across some different conferences, and this was during the pandemic, so everything was online. And then these different conferences I just started attending, and then just you quickly see who kind of are the players and who you resonate with the most, and started interviewing some masterminds of how to get in and network. And I mean, honestly, my first networking event, it was extremely scary, even though in my business, I'm confident in what I'm doing, but this is a whole new business. Right. There's a whole new group of people. Everything's new. I'm coming in uneducated in this situation. And so you feel vulnerable. But everyone has been extremely helpful and coming. It was a situation though. I'd hear like the noise in the lobby. Right. And I'm just like, oh man, like to get into that lobby was nerve wracking. And actually, but once you're there, you're good, but you just got to make that first step out that door and get your butt there. And so from that point on, I didn't miss any networking events for the first year and a half. I went to every single event that there was and showed up. And then when there's Zoom calls, show up, even if it's late, 8 o'clock at night, some of these things go till 10, you know, it's like you just show up and put your camera on, and it's all part of the process for people to get to know you and you get to know other people better. And it's not something that happens overnight. So you need to keep showing up and be authentic throughout this entire process. And then you naturally attract the people you're going to network and connect with.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think, you know, you surround yourself with people that you want to either be like, model after, or learn from, right? So And I think that's really what masterminds in general, if they're done well, they give back to the people that are involved for sure.
And it's like an insurance policy too. It's what I really look at it like that too. Cause you have this network of people you can rely on for different things. If you think about getting into a deal, you can bounce who the partner's off of different people and see what they think. Cause everyone has, ends up being a pretty small world in the end. Right. And you know how people's performance have been and people's experiences have been. So you have that, and we're here to help one another. So.
Yeah, that's so true. I can't tell you how many times I've reached out to even just the MIH crew, different members that in different markets that I was looking to invest in mm-hmm. and saying, hey, look at this deal. What do you think about this? What do you know about it? And it's mm-hmm. so incredible how willing everybody is to take their time to just help out, right? Even if they have nothing to do financially with a deal, it's to give you feedback. And, you know, everybody generally wants you know, everybody to succeed, at least in MIH. That's the way I feel. I think everybody generally wants everybody else to succeed, and we're all there to kind of help each other do it. But I think it's also why we all invest together and do things together, because there's a lot of trust there too, right? When it's not so commercialized, right? You're talking about, you know, when you're doing these networking calls and somebody's just writing down, you know, everything that you say, and it's just so robotic. It's, you know, that there's no people skills behind that, right? It's fake, right? But when you get around people that are generally all trying to achieve success and it looks a little different, helping each other out is a big component to that. And I believe what you put out in the world, you know, you get back too. So
agreed, 100%.
So, you know, you've been investing in all types of asset classes. You're now in multiple states, right? All outside of your market. How did you decide, you know, that you were going to try these different asset classes and do these investments in other states? How did you pick the states? How did you pick the asset classes? Was it more about the partnerships than it was about the deals? Was it more about the deals that were too good to be true that made you tiptoe into these asset classes? Tell me a little bit more about, you know, your connection with these other asset classes and your other markets that you're in.
Oh, so my first deal I ever got into was in Kansas City. And that initially started because of the market. Initially, I didn't have the partnership aligned at that point, but I visited the market. I knew the job growth was there. The population growth was there. And a job diversification also. So it wasn't just one industry that was there. The international airport was just barely being built when I went to go visit. You see the expansion happening. You see Meta and Google coming in. You know that there's a huge Panasonic chip plant. Like, companies of the future are investing in these areas. So, like, from Jake and Gino, Jake always likes to invest near Chick-fil-A, you know? So, and that's a solid point, right? Like, these corporations spend thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, I don't even know, on market research. So it's like, follow their trails as well. So doing that with tech companies, and that is what's propelling us right now. That was huge. And then you have a great sports team too. So there's just so many things, and affordable living. So there were so many aspects of this area that had been just a flyover state for me for my whole life until now. And the city was fun too. So that was also really great. Like I could live there, you know? And so that's also part of it. Like, I want to be able to relate to where I'm going and enjoy where I'm going. Like, and I also need at least some direct flights. So that was the other thing too. I can't be too remote. And so that's how I initially found Kansas City. And then the partners came for that one. And that was huge. But in reverse, I never considered Western PA. That started with the partners. So for me, I had never researched that market. Partners came first. I want to partner with them. I trust them and their market research and their team. So I invest in that area now. So there's different situations with each market. But, and then Springfield is its own, that's 2.5 hours south of Kansas City. So that one, the proximity was good, but also same thing with affordability. The job diversification is good on the big, good hospital system, not as great as Kansas City, but people from Kansas City are migrating to Springfield because it's gotten too busy. So you have that migration pattern happening, and Springfield is getting close to reaching that 500,000 MSA, which it was an important part of my underwriting criteria too. So the growth is happening there just slower than Kansas City.
The episode will continue in just a moment.
As an investor, we know it's important to stay on top of market trends and real estate opportunities that add value to your portfolio. We also know that having a trusted source of reliable information to help you stay a step ahead of other investors is critical to your success. If you're interested in having these types of resources, as well as access to me and my team, I invite you to join the Empire Investment Club, a free service that gives you an easier way to make sense of today's and tomorrow's real estate opportunities. As a member of the Empire Investment Club, you'll get access to relevant resources and investment-focused experiences such as live interactive webinars, market trend presentations, and investor socials designed to equip you with what you need to succeed. So whether you're an active investor, passive investor, a combination of both, or just starting out, the club is where you'll get what you need to build a portfolio you love. To join, just head over to jenniferdejesus.com, sign up, and we'll see you in the club, where everyone's on a journey to becoming a better investor.
So we talk about someone like you, who is a perfect example, again, how you can diversify and partner with people in and out of state, right? And we talk about the who, not how philosophy. It's who you surround yourself with, not how to necessarily get it done. And I believe you mentioned that, you know, Jake and Gino, and also now our MIH real estate community, was a pathway for you to find these partners that led you to these destinations. We're all in the community together, right? We all have very similar stories. So what do you think separates our community and family from the rest out there? What are some of those key pillars that define us and separate us and will make us all stick together for years and years to come, you know, with that same common goal?
So I'm part of multiple, and it's the family aspect. It's the uniting together and being able to bounce things off one another in a really easy, friendly, friendship family way. In so many situations, you're just talked at, you know, you're not collaborating. So I feel like there's a huge collaboration process that happens within MIH, more specifically. Jake and Gino, yes, too. But you have to make that happen a little bit more and really show up. But with MIH, you are in these smaller cohorts where, and the constant group messaging, like we are together, and we're working out, we're together, and we're talking about AI, we're together in all different sorts of ways. It's not just this. So it's one of those unique situations with MIH that you really can grow quicker because you're in these small groups of people where you can get to know each other a lot faster and without having to be in these large groups. And it's just harder initially if you're in the large group.
Well, it's funny, you know, you mentioned that first event you went to, was there was a little bit of a fear factor in front of it. Right now, when we have these events, whether the next one's in Cincinnati or Allentown, Pennsylvania, or wherever, I look at them as almost, hate to say this, but mini vacations. Like,
I'm so excited
to see everybody, right? I feel that way. And everyone's bringing their spouses. I haven't brought mine yet or my kids yet, but maybe one day in the future I will. But I genuinely look forward to these events, not for the education, even though it's there, not for the actual, you know, content that's going to, I know is going to be discussed. It's for the people. I just really look forward to seeing the same friendly faces, people I haven't met yet, who I've talked to on Zoom, and then new faces that I've never talked to or met yet. And all of it combined is so special to me. So I really do look forward to these events. And you guys are doing things in your own local markets. We're doing things up here in our own local markets. And then we can all connect at one of these events. I wish we almost had more a year, you know? So it's great.
It truly is a mini vacation for me too. Like even my friend group has morphed. I'm kind of closer to some of my real estate investor people I networked that are my true friends now than I am some other friends. Like it's just wild how it happened. But I still love my friends to death from... But there's like the new people that I've brought into my life through meeting through MIH and JK has been like invaluable.
Yeah, because you meet people in life who just have those same values and personally, professionally, and you know,
at this time in our life, like everyone's your life changes and morphs. And right now, I'm specifically saying like I want to be around you and you, you know.
Yep.
So yeah,
exactly. Feelings mutual, 100%. Yeah. So it's great.
So I'm not the only one that puts the meetups and the events on their calendar and does a countdown like vacation. Take it, because it's exactly what I do too. I get so excited. It is just as exciting as vacation. I mean, I love the vacation, but I really genuinely just feel so like empowered or just revitalized, right? The same reasons you go on vacation, right? Besides spending time with your family, you go on vacation to like reset, right? And revitalize yourself. I go to these events to do that same exact thing. So I absolutely look forward to them just like I look forward to vacation. So I completely understand.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So Christina, you've had so many experiences now in different asset classes across multiple states. Do you have a favorite?
So multifamily is my favorite, for sure. And I want to stay bullish on Springfield and KC, even Western PA. So those three areas I'm looking to grow in even more. The RV park was interesting. I kind of squirreled off from multifamily a little bit. I had a little shiny object syndrome with that. And it's great, but it's definitely more work in a different way. So I enjoy the multifamily asset management aspect part more than the daily hospitality part. I deal with that with my short-term rentals, and I had three in three different states, and it was just too much. Just having one true love short-term rental that I visit as well and enjoy myself, that's great. The RV park is that situation where it's a constant flow of hospitality that you're dealing with. Robert knows, it's like you're dealing with not just annual leases that come up for renewal, right? Like you're dealing with people that come in and out every few days. Mm-hmm. And I know I don't personally deal with that. We have an on-site manager, but there's always something that comes up that's just more so than in multifamily. It's a much more active space that you better be prepared for if you go into it.
I agree. It's customer service, right? There's a whole side of that that is just in itself a full-time job.
Sure. we get reviews every week, and we're going to reply to that 4-star, 3-star, and 5s. We're happy when they come in, but just, people, you can't predict people, and you could try your best to provide the best experience for them. And there might just be something that they'll never be a 5-star review unless it was some, who knows, right? So.
Oh yeah.
It can be challenging in those aspects. But.
Yeah. So you and your husband have built this life and this business together. What are some of the challenges or benefits of working with your spouse?
Yeah. So when it first started, it was definitely harder because we had to figure out our roles and kind of the struggles of the ego is a problem, right? Like you want to feel like you're the brains of the operation. No, I'm the brains of the operation, right? Like, we quickly realized that this was not going to work. So we found our lanes, and we now call each other's backup dancers. And so I take on the real estate full time. And with his businesses, that one of them is a franchise that we started together in 2006 and we still have it. He has that 100%. And then he has his company Miami Wired, but I assist with the big proposals that we send out and whatever he needs in different ways. And same with him. On the real estate side. So just backup dancers is our perfect role, and it works well together now. So
that's awesome. That's actually really great advice for anybody navigating those waters as well.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So I understand, and I don't even think I knew this, but I understand your motto is find it, live it.
Yeah.
And how does that philosophy influence the way you approach business, investing in your own lifestyle, so to speak?
Yeah, I just think so many people, especially a lot of women, I feel like I've heard more often than men, but it's just the purpose. And like they're always like, what's my purpose? And trying to find that the extra thing that really just if you keep looking for something, you will find it. But you got to put in that effort and you've got to find it and then actually do it. So if I find it, live it, I'm just saying keep seeking, be curious, try new things. And then do it and try. And then it doesn't work. Do it. Start the process over. You're going to find something that clicks with you and you're going to go. Like for me, living in all the different states I've lived in, different colleges I've been to, starting off a corporate career kind of early. And it was a small part of my life, but it was a huge part of transforming me. Like just doing things and not being scared to try new things rather than just constantly dwelling on the idea of your purpose and reading books and all these different, it's like, that's all great, but it takes action. So.
Yep. Simple, great advice. You're exactly mm-hmm. right. Just got to do it. Just do it.
Right. Yeah.
Just like Nike said, right?
Yeah.
So what are your goals this year, Christina? What's 2025 look like for you?
Well, 2025 is going to be a little different than the rest. My husband and I have 20 years are having our first baby. So
congrats.
We're coming a little late to the game, but we're here. And so that's a big part of 2025. So really, I've been just kind of getting all my systems and processes really in place before the baby comes next month. And I won't be able to show up to as many events in the first part of second quarter and third quarter, but I'm planning like Pontevedra in September. I'm going to be there. Like, we're going to make that happen no matter what. So, yeah. And then obviously investing in other deals. Even right now, I'm investing in a Sharpline deal that fits within my bigger idea of learning more about development and entitlement process. That's exciting. And then other deals that come through with my partners. I'm not the deal finder in these situations. They're the deal finders, and they come to me with them, and I provide capital. So I'm looking forward to other opportunities that come up in Western PA and Missouri, multifamily wise. And so, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think it's time for our fun little game. Would you agree, Robert?
Yes, it is that time already. We whizzed by things very fast. I didn't realize already.
Yeah. All right, Christina. So we're going to do a lightning round of questions for you.
Okay.
So we're going to rapid fire some questions, and you're going to rapid fire some answers right back at us.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right. What's the first and most underrated real estate market in the U.S. right now?
Midwest. I think that a lot of people look at the shiny areas, you know, big cities, but they overlook the Midwest, and it's not to be overlooked.
If you were to travel to one destination on your next trip, where would it be?
So yeah, I've visited 41 countries so far. So there are many places I want to go. This is not lightning. I'm so sorry. I'm not good at this so far.
Listen, you better learn how to move fast with that baby coming.
Wait till it walks, right?
Man, I want to go to Japan. I haven't been to Japan yet.
Oh, I like it.
I was just talking about that last night with my wife. I literally was with my son too. Yeah, great choice.
The yen is down, a better bang for our buck, and food's incredible. So let's go.
Oh, yeah.
If you could only invest in one asset class for the next decade, what would it be?
Multifamily.
Your dream vacation home, beach, mountain, lodge, or penthouse in the city?
I could have both beach and mountain. And so that's where it would be, more remote.
Got it.
Yeah. Actually, St. Croix just went there last month to get away. I wanted beach and mountains. Like that was my main
thing. Actually, yeah, the topography there would all, it's a beautiful, like yeah. St. Lucia has that.
That was difficult to get to. That was on, I looked at that too, but yeah, those two areas, it was perfect just to get away, and you could be alone and secluded. And
yeah. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last question. What's the craziest or weirdest thing that you ever encountered in flipping homes?
Foreclosure homes where you buy sight unseen. I went to go to a property after I already was under contract for it, EMD's hard. Just walk in, everything's looking good. No electricity in these places either. And I'm by myself. Come into the bathroom and there's blood-stained hands on the wall, like streaking down. And there's blood splattered all over the bathroom. Like something bad happened in that bathroom. I found out later what it was from the neighbors, but to be walking through, and I hadn't even been in the basement of the house yet. And I'm like, shit, I got to go in the basement now. Like after seeing that, like, what am I going to see in the basement?
Yeah.
The rest of that person.
I know.
The rest of that person.
The scariest thing I've seen. And yeah. And I couldn't get signal to keep Attila on the phone in the basement. So I'm just like, we're going to quickly just get this over with. But.
Oh my God.
I know.
So did you buy that deal?
Oh yeah, we bought it. And turned out there it was a husband that was retaliating against his ex-wife, and he killed the dog in that bathroom, and he spread the dog's blood all over the bathroom.
Oh my God.
I know. Really bad. So
wow.
We saged that room.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Christina, for your, your cooperation in our lightning round. Although we had a slow start, I do appreciate it. And thank you for all your insights and, your willingness to share your experiences, ups and downs of real estate investing and your journey and where you've come from and where you've gone to. So thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun. Good to see you guys.
You as well.
Same here.
Okay.
And Robert, thank you as well.
Oh, great being here. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Well, that's a wrap for today. Thank you for listening to today's episode. And until next time, take care.
For more information about how Jennifer can help you plan, develop, and manage a strong real estate investment portfolio, visit growingempires.com.